all welcome to church another blessed Sunday morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yes, he was that day.
And to your brother and say, you're looking good. Tend to your next brother and say, you're looking good. And say, it's good to have you in church. Why should you be among the people that are in church? We also took some time just looking at what it would mean. Because if we do not understand what it is, it will be very difficult for us to explain why we should have church, isn't it? I still stand by Miles Monroe's words that says that if the use of a thing is not known, right, the abuse of it is inevitable. So if you don't know why, it's more likely that you're not going to see the essence. You know, sometimes somebody could say, who are those people gathering? Say, they call themselves Christians. Say, Christians. Why do they gather? Say, nowadays, they just gather and then they contribute for the pastor. They contribute for the pastor. Say, why do you have to give the pastor money? As though the money goes to the pastor. So they say, look at all of those bunch of fanatics. They say there is a God. Well, there's a kind of people who say they don't know if there is a God or not, right? Yes. An atheist believes there is no God. An agnostic believes that, and does not believe. And he says, I do not know if there is. So it's not like he does not believe, but he's saying, I don't know if there is. I don't know if there is a God. Why do they gather? Who is this God? What's church? Now, if you're joining in for the first time here, I'll advise you to listen to the first session and the second session. It's going to bring you here. Because we're going to be building up from there, right? So, why should you belong to a church? Why don't you sleep this morning? It's like, okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, subsidy from all the treasuries of the day, all of the up and down, I think Sunday would have been a very good day, like to stretch in the evening. You know, you get a good movie, right? And then they sell fufu in the best joints on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And they start pounding around 10 a.m.
Wow.
Because how do you know? So by 11:45, 12 p.m., the soup would have been boiling. So why do you have to leave all of those and then be in church? Because you could have chosen to be anywhere, doing anything, resting from any other activity that you've had throughout the day. And that's what we've been trying to decode all of these series as a
Great.
So, you get to realize that not many people understand. Before we get into our teaching, I'll share with you a very interesting story. There was a little country church where everything ran like a clock. So, you know how a clock ticks? Went as it ticks. 12, 1, 12, 2, 12, 3, tick, tock, 12, 4. Right? So everything is very orderly. Every Sunday, everybody came to that old country church. They sang the same old hymns, had almost the same sermon every other passing Sunday. And so they invited this guy to church. And then he got into that old country church, and when you go to, like, sorry to say, very composed church, you know, even coughing seems like committing a sin.
Yeah.
Open the door for me, let me go outside. Right? So this guy is new in the church, so the pastor is preaching. And then he shouts, "Amen!" So, you know, the people turn around like, "He's here." The person is in a wrong church, right? So, the ushers quickly walked over to him. Guys, I'm going to tell you the latter part of the story before we sit down to us, so everyone should rise. So, the usher walked to him and said, and you know what he told the usher? He said, "But I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost." Session, no, it's church.
Church.
So we took some time looking at some synonyms that explain the word church, right?
Yes, sir.
And those names describe or tell us what God is doing, or they explain what the church is supposed to stand for. We said a synonym to the word church is the household of faith.
Yes.
It means that, I'm just giving you a recap so that those who are not here can just tack in along. So we have the household of faith, and it's a group of people that believe alike. We believe alike. We believe the same thing. The word faith is the word pistis. It means to have belief in a thing, right? Yes. Normally in a deity. So it means when we gather, when we're full of joy, everyone should be full of joy.
Yes.
When we're worshiping, everyone is in worship, in songs unto the Lord, right?
Yes.
When we start to celebrate the Lord in praise, everybody starts to do the same. When we start to hear the word of God that comes, everybody is attentive and listening. Right? So there's a common belief. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, and we believe that he resurrected on the third day, and he ascended, and he's now seated at the right hand side of the Father. Right? We have that common belief. So we believe alike, we think alike, we act alike, we're convicted in the things that we are supposed to be convicted in, alike together. There's a household of faith. Some of you have families. When we see some people, they say it's a household of people who wear spectacles. So the mother has spectacles, the father has spectacles, the uncle has spectacles, the children, like when they give that to their children, they have spectacles, they have glasses, right? So a household of people who wear spectacles. Should I tell you the story? I think when I was in SHS, I wanted to get spectacles because I thought like those who normally wear glasses are like very smart. So I was like, I don't look smart. So I have to wear something that makes me look smart. But I don't think I ever looked good in one. So I never tried wearing one. So there's a household of faith. Then there is the family of God. It means when we gather, I told you the word church, household of faith. We could also say the family of God. So when we gather together, we are a family. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Great. Now, that family, I said, has nothing to do with physical or natural traits. There is something beyond the physical that bonds us together, right? And that's what we believe. That's whom we believe. The practices of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We also said it's called assembly. So assembly, a gathering actually. So I've had some other ministries say so-and-so gathering. It's still the word church. But sometimes I feel like people don't want to be part of the status quo, like the normal trend. So we just say gathering, something gathering. And it's good too. So it's also church. That's it. So there's not anything very special. Are you listening?
Yes.
Then there is the bride of Christ. I use that to explain how that Jesus Christ loves his church. His church is beautiful for all situations.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, see, why don't you go to church? Why aren't you part of the church? Say, those guys are carnal, you know? And it's like, you know more than Jesus.
Wow.
Don't you make statements like that? I said, his bride is beautiful for all situations. Are you listening?
Yes.
It's beautiful irrespective of who, whatever it is they look. Monkey, no fine, but like I'm so. So, while in fact you criticize the church and you have things to point at the church, he looks at the church and he says, wow, that is my bride.
Wow.
That is my bride. So, we said that the word church also will mean the bride of Christ. We also said it means the Lamb's bride, right?
Yes.
We also said saints, right? And I tried to correct the notion that saints meant that you were some Catholic, you know, believer who once lived, Saint Augustine, Saint Anthony, Saint Benedict, and all of that. No. When we gather, these saints gather. I can call you Saint Anthony. I can call you Saint Ivan. I can call you, you're looking good. I can call you Saint Benedict. Right? So, you see that the word saints would not only mean, as you guys can see, the word saints will not only mean that Jesus, I mean, the word saint will not only mean the person is sort of a very special person. No. Everybody who is born again suddenly becomes a saint. It means the person becomes God's chosen one.
Wow.
God's special person. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Great. So we go back to our scripture of emphasis, Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. I think we have to consult Bible Society so that they give us Bibles. When you come in without the Bible, they give you Bible. I don't allow them to project Bible verses here, because I should believe that when you go for lectures, you have your books. So when you are coming to church, you have a Bible. Are you listening?
Yes.
All right. So in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my what?
Church.
I told you that the word church is not a Christian word exactly. It just means a gathering, a people who are called out from other people. And I said it was used normally in political language in Hebrew days, right?
Yes.
To explain the people who were called out for judicial purposes. So that's what it is. It's not really a spiritual Christian sort of. That's what we have the Church of Satan. It means that the people who gather, gather in his name. They gather in Satan's name. So when we gather as a church, we gather in the name of who?
Jesus.
So he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. It is his church, not somebody else's church. It is his church.
His church.
His church.
His church.
Right? So I will build my household of faith. I will build my family. I will build my assembly. I will build my what? Saints, my bride. I will build them. Are you listening?
Yes,
so he is the one that establishes and that builds his church. It means he determines the rules of engagement. How many of you have told your dad something before? And he said, hey, if you want to do that, then leave my house. You can't do that. Right? Whenever you go out of my house, then you can decide to do whatever you want to do. This is my house. Yes, not in my house. Not here. See? Not in my house. But you see, learn to listen to your parents. Eh?
Yes.
All right, so the household of faith. So Jesus is also saying, this is my family. Are you listening?
Yes.
My family. You know, not a millionaire's club. My family. My people. Where I teach them my values, my principles. The philosophy I live by is what I teach them. And it's what you teach them if I instruct you to be their instructor in my place. So many times, let me tell you something. We must be careful as a church. You know, today you can see that if I came in and I said, I've invited that photo. Come in, teach us about how to make $1 million Now, the real fact is that this place is not going to be able to carry us. Because you will see what Allah has you. Who does not want to be born again? But what's the visit to Dangote on the pulpit? You see somebody who's not born again sitting right in front of me. Why? Because we bring somebody on the pulpit to teach the church on how to live. Now, he's making money wrong.
No.
Not in the church. That's what we're saying. Making money is not wrong. Going to a seminar organized by Dangote at Kimpisi is not wrong. But not in his church. Are you listening?
Yes,
so he's building his church, not a millionaire's farm. He's building his church, not a career academy. So I shouldn't at any point in time stand here, and all I've come to do on a Sunday is to teach you what career to choose. That is not knowing the purpose of a thing and abusing the thing. That's not knowing the purpose. It means you also should not be interested in the church where they are teaching or whatever. The moment I start teaching you career, I start teaching you millionaire, I'll tell you, find another church. Find another church. That's quite some misplaced priorities. Find another church. So you see that he is building his church. I showed you last week what his church is going to be characterized by. I'm going to hit on that again. Right? Great. So let's see something in John chapter 2. Just a simple story. I want you to see the same thing so that you don't say, Pastor is the one saying it. And are you trying to say, we should not have anybody come to the church? Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Because Jesus never had anyone come around to teach something else that was not his Father's words. In fact, in his teachings and preachings were his Father's words.
Wow.
And that's why, you know, today we're going to have a nice time because...
Oh, yeah. I'm ready!
I'm going to explain in simple terms. You will understand it. When you see something that is not church, your heart will resist it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus is not there. I'm telling you, he's not there.
He's not there.
See something in John chapter 2, verse 14. John chapter 2, verse 14. Okay, let's start reading from verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and dung, and the changers of money sitting. Now, he found them where? In the temple. Is selling oxen, sheep, and doves and changing of money wrong?
No.
Obviously not. But look what he says. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold these things, the doves, the oxen, the sheep, the changers of money, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise, a place where trade is carried out.
Wow.
Not my Father's house.
Not my Father's house.
Not my Father's house.
Not the church.
Not the church. And that's why many people see the church as a money-making venture. Because they say, they sell blue oil, they sell red oil, they sell yellow oil, sales of oil, wrong. No, not the church.
Not
the church. His church has a responsibility, and we ought to see it as separate. We ought to see it as separate. So you say, why are these people got it? Someone who feels like it's a deep thing that was in the all these books. You know, same people. Look at them. Some people are just taking their money. They are just taking their money. They are just telling lies and then people just believe. But me, I don't believe that nonsense. It's nonsense. How can you tell me that? There was a man, Jesus. Have you seen Jesus before? Who has it? Tell me, have you seen Jesus before? Say, no, sir, I've not seen Jesus before. Because some people are very wealthy, man. No, sir, I've not seen Jesus before. Say, okay. Who wrote the Bible? Say, sat easily with a couple of prophets. You see, that's why I said these people, they don't have sense. People just write things and then you combine them and you start believing them. It's because we have not put the church in its right place. And the church has not defined the purpose and what she should stand for. So, if you truly are a believer, you will be interested in the conversation we're having now. So Jesus is angry. Don't sell in my Father's church. Don't sell. Now it's not just a selling. Don't have entertainment in my Father's house. If you want a place to entertain yourself, there's the cinema. There is the Christian doesn't go to the night club. So please don't go to the night club.
Yes, you pastor.
Some of you go to the night club. But pastor, please, I'm born again now. I never said you were not born again. I just said, who has wanted the nice laugh? So let's leave it there. I'll just take it as a rhetoric. So, right, so this good stuff, but you don't do that here. Are you listening?
Yes,
yeah, you don't do that here. So you have to do every other thing where they're supposed to be done. When you gather in his house, there's a reason for his gathering. Are you listening?
Yes,
great. So do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise, a place of trade, a place of fun, a place of liberty. You treat it very lightly and very loosely. And I can tell you that if Jesus were still present today, you know there was supernatural strength on him, yeah, just like Samson. You seem very lucky, but where is the strength
of
God?
It's crazy,
mom. Why your heart? Why is your life? So you can tell that that was not the reason for the church. Don't have Father's house built with merchandise. It means that the reason for his gathering, he determined. And it was not for natural purposes. It was for spiritual purposes. Say, when I go to church. My church brought my hand to come. The word is coming, he's asleep on the back of the He's asleep. Wow. When you wake him up, he will fight with you. I'm sleeping in my Father's house. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. We looked at that last week. I just want to have us on the same page. So normally, until we are done with the topic, we'll take it a step further. Are you listening?
Yes, it's got us.
Just a little bit further. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4 to 8. Okay, let's read verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live. So, when we gather to hearken. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
We hear the word of God, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Then we do the word of God that is heard. And then God says it is well with us. Let's jump to verse 4. But ye that did cling unto the Lord your God are like every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. So there is the teaching of the God, of God's word. So in the gathering, there is a hackney, right?
Yes.
Then there is worship, which is the, when I say worship, I actually mean the whole thing is worship, but when we adulate. We give special time for adulation. Special time to just behold the most from you. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So, when we gather for worship, the word is taught. Then we do the word. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
We do the word. We do the word. And this actually will explain our love for him. So, you cannot love him if he has told you to gather, but you don't gather. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Our love for him is seen in our decision to gather. Now, the gathering doesn't have to be 2,000, 5,000. No. Right?
Yes, sir.
Four people? Is this church? Three people? Is this church? 20 people? Once they gather, is this church? They gather, they teach the word of God. The word of God is here. Then the practice of the word of God is this church. Right?
Yes, sir.
So, the reason for this gathering, have you realized that the reason for this gathering are not for carnal purposes?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen that?
Yes,
sir. It is what? Spiritual. It's separate. It's distinct. It's special. That's the reason for his gathering. It's not for carnal purposes. Now, let me show you a story in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We're going to have a long read.
Yes, Pastor.
18. 98. John 18, 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Now this was Jesus before Pilate's strife, right? Verse 32, we're reading. That the sin of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus is an intelligent man. See what his answer was. Jesus said unto him, sayest thou these things of thyself, or did others tell thee it to be of me? Are you saying it yourself, or right? Others are saying it to you of who I am. Pay attention. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, what did he say together? Can we read?
My kingdom is not of this world.
Hold on. It means that kingdom of God is the church, basically. His kingdom is not of this world. Now, he was trying to ask, is he the king of Jews? Is he a president? But he said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. It means where I rule and reign over others who are my church, it's not for natural purposes. It's not in the natural purpose. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, so he was trying to tell Pilate that, listen, what we share together, the people I rule over, I don't rule over them for natural things. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yes. So he says that I am a king. No, sorry, my kingdom is not of this world. Now listen to what he says. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. I do not rule and reign over things for natural purposes. I don't rule and reign over the people for natural purposes. You know, I remember a counsel somebody gave me. The church is not for political purposes. No, it's not. It's not. I like this party, and this church is this party. It's not for that. The moment you do that, you are trying to have Jesus rule and reign over natural affairs. No. Now, he wants to influence, of course, he wants to influence the things that are natural and around with himself and his word, right? But that has to be done with his method. He's not interested in becoming president so that he can now rule over the people. No. Some of you want to become presidents. Great. It's good. It's going to help develop the country. It's not wrong, right?
Yes.
But we will have him ruling over the people who are born again. Those are the people he rules. So some people think that Jesus rules over the world. No, he doesn't. He rules those who are submitted to his rulership. That's all. Those who are born again are the people he rules. So we must be careful. We must be careful. You know, even when I was not being really like, I didn't even understand a lot of things. Whenever I saw a lot of mess in the church, like when people don't handle themselves very well, when people are not committed, when they just come around and they think it's supposed to be full of fun and entertainment, say, oh, let's have JC Sunday so that we can celebrate and know which team we belong. Now, wearing a jersey is not wrong. Not in this church. That's merchandise. You are trying to use it for something. Wear a jersey and go to the stadium. Do you understand?
Yes.
And celebrate number 10 over there. But when you come here, right?
Yes.
You should have that mind. So the church is not for natural things.
Yes.
Not for carnal things. The church is his family. Where he teaches out his word, the people hear the word, right?
Yes.
They gather in worship, then they live, they act according to the word that they have been taught. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So you can have fun, but not in his church. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. See, the church will not agree. The church will not agree. Say, why? We are social advocates. We advocate for... No, that's not your work. Have you seen Jesus advocating for social welfare before? Yours is to preach the gospel. Now, you can advertise social whatever, but don't say that Christ's family is advertising social welfare. No, create a social welfare group and have other people join in the social welfare and push together the social welfare agenda you have. But don't use the church for something that he does not want to have his church used for. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So we must know why the church is given. Why do we belong? What is the church? And that's what I've been trying to do, or that's what I've been doing from the beginning of the church. So we are not confused. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Great. Same. If you come to church, we will give you thousands. We'll give you, and we'll give you one fridge. So, I mean, if you tell me this, I will probably join your church for the first 2 hours so that I can get my fridge and money without even having to know Jesus Christ. Are you listening? So the reasons why we gather, we must teach this very strongly. So that we all know that when we gather for him. Why we gather? Because we love him. Are you listening? We are his people, called out from amongst other people to do what he wants us to do. I don't want to get to him and you tell me that your ministry was zero. Yeah. Because if you are raising millionaires, what use are you to him? I was watching one thing on Facebook, and I saw a pastor preaching. And I saw a lot of people. It's my own. Sometimes I'm curious. So I start going through the comment section. And he begins his call to wait for me and all of those. He's not speaking, he's just about, let's just start. So he was called to wait. He says he's called to raise millionaires. So I just said, let me go to your Facebook. I went to his Facebook. I went to a video he was giving revelation using the Bible. That's not used for that, actually. Then I went, then I checked first person. They were all saying, powerful, wow, where's your church? Where's your so he was giving. Then I just said, let me just go through. I'm just going to have a tour. Let me go to the people's walls and let me just check what manner of people. Sampling, this is original sampling. So I clicked on the first person and I went to the post. I'm telling you, the first person I saw on his post had some dangerous lifestyle or something with some bottle. That was the person that was telling him that his message is very powerful. And listen, he wants to come to the church because he's teaching things that Ghanaians have to know. So let me tell you something. What is happening here is that he's not going to actually appear in church because of Jesus. No. He's going to appear in church because you have principles that he thinks he needs to be able to make money. You have principles that he thinks he'll be able to make some cash flow in a church. And you say, oh, you know, cryptocurrency. Then I'll come here and I'll say, Sunday of cryptocurrency. I'm a cryptocurrency teacher. I come to teach you. I've recommended crypto for some of you. And I'll tell them, go and learn from this person. But don't have it.
Not yet.
Eh? Yes. So you see that? Say, that's a church. The next person, I have samples of people else. Meanwhile, there were people who were telling me that his message was powerful. And his life was good. And he was, these are things that Ghanaians have to hear. These are things that people have to do. Oh, it's a very revelatory message. It's a very powerful message. It's a very, how can you come to church? And then we kind of hear him say, yeah, come to church, soap make it. So we came to teach you to make soap.
Wow.
That's what you came to do on Sunday. Is that not merchandise? That's why some buying and selling. And some of the, I know some your previous digits so you enjoy yourself somewhere. I'm not against, I'm just teaching you something that is supposed to be right in that. Now imagine Jesus Christ coming into his temple when the word of God is supposed to be preached and said, then he comes and he sees one person. Now, normally those who they actually sometimes are not in the church very frequently. They bring them in because they have the skills. Or sometimes they are in the church, right? They are in the church. So they bring them into the church. Then they say, teach the people how to make soap. So the way I stand on the pulpit, I showed you Ezra. And I started reading to him. He stands on the wooden pulpit. And out of the pulpit proceeds forth the word of God. The people hear it, they are changed. They give worship to the Lord. Then they go outside and they begin to live the life that they live. So imagine Jesus enters here and we are making soap. Do you know what I'll do? I know you will scorch, like you make a scorch end for everybody. So I'll just ask the guy behind him for the keys. I'll go outside and I'll lock you all in. I will lock you all inside. I will lock you, all of you inside. Yes? Then when he asks us, where is your pastor? Now, let me tell you something. It's not really a fun thing. Because, you see, some of you have had visions of hell and all of those things. Was it a funny thing? When you wake up and you didn't go, those dreams that you didn't go. What is going on? It's not funny at all. Somebody told me that she has never gone to heaven ever since she had it. But she called me last week to tell me that she had a dream and then she went to heaven. So I have to tell her that, you know what? You are fooling. You are fooling. Because I don't want to have dreams to authenticate my being with God and being in Christ. I don't believe that. The word of God says so. I believe the word that says it. I don't believe the vision. I don't believe the dream that says that I will not go to heaven when I believe in Jesus. Give the Lord a shout. I'll show you in a few minutes. I see visions. So I'm not fighting against the vision, but visions are not the reason why we're born again. We're born again because His word says so. For by grace you have been saved. Not of your works, lest any of you should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So the church should be standing on these truths. So, what we have as this gathering should be kept separate. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Separate. I'm going to show you, I'm going to take my time, and I'll show you some other very important things. I won't rush it at all. Because you are not going anywhere. Unless you came to visit, which I will encourage that you stay. Yes. Yes. Yesterday I was praying the Lord, people who visit, let them stay.
Amen.
So he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So there's a family in what?
Heaven.
And there's a family in what?
Heaven.
And all of these families are named. Are you listening?
Yes.
So when we gather doing what our Father wants us to do. Are you listening?
Yes.
We gather doing what our Father wants us to what?
To
do. We gather doing what our Father wants us to do. We gather doing what our Father wants us to do. And what He wants us to do and what binds us is not natural. Are you listening?
Yes.
It is what? Spiritual. See something in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter number 6. We're going to start reading from John chapter number 6. This was when they realized that Jesus was a miracle worker. We're starting to read from verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. They said, wow, this Jesus, he's a miracle worker. He's a powerful man. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him what? To make him what? Right. So, is that trying to make him an overseer of something that is natural?
Yes.
Something that he didn't come for?
Yes.
He didn't come for that. He didn't come to be a natural king. That's not what he came for. He came because of a reason. Are you listening?
Yes.
So, see what he did. Can we read together what he did? He departed again into a mountain, himself a what? Because they saw that he had multiplied bread, fish. It means that if we make him king, listen, we are going to have more bread and more fish, and we will never go hungry.
Wow.
Don't come to church because they will give you money or they give you money. Or they give you something, say, no, I don't come. My big money is don't come. No, don't come to church for that. I'm trying to show you what it is and how you are supposed to address what has been given to you. Are you listening?
Yes.
So he departed. He departed. Today you find the church trying to say, oh, we are also like, and they try, you don't know, but you're actually copying the world. Because what's the difference if Davido comes in here and they start playing one of the jingles and tunes? I say, hey, what are you? Is that straight all over? Yeah. And he gives some sounds.
Ah.
Come on, shout out to the boys. And then you see that there are lights all over. Just spinning all over. What's the difference? See, when we get to heaven, we'll be shocked. Hey, so the church must know the reason why she exists. Are you listening?
Yes,
we're called to serve the Lord. We're called to worship God. We're called to pray, bring people in, to preach the gospel. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. So that you don't work. And they say your work didn't bring in pain. There was nothing, there was no pain. You've been dancing choreography for 6 years. You can't preach the gospel. Let me say, preach like this is a soul. You fumble on the soul star until the soul escapes.
My God. 6 years.
So?
6 years.
6 years. We're going to make gospel. You can't preach.
6 years.
You can't see somebody who is not filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't do that. 13 years in church. You can't get anybody born again. You don't remember the last person you got born again. Filled in the Holy Ghost. It's dangerous. God is talking to you. Look, you see me talk to you. It looks like it's a man that's talking to you. It's God talking to you. Say, well, Sunday. Business Sunday. Traveling and visa Sunday. Oil Sunday. Grapefruit and apple token Sunday. Say, carry the apple on your head. Everybody's coming. You want to take us back to the apple? Say, this Sunday is Catch a Crash Sunday.
Catch a what?
So, the reason there's one new guy who has come to the church. He has spotted one girl. The reason why you are actually coming to church, oh God, for such a carnal reason. Now, all of these things are not bad. But there's no way. Wait. You know, many things that excite us, many times I've realized it doesn't excite Jesus. I tell you for free. Free advice. Many things that you think excite you do not excite you. I'll tell you something interesting. some of the programs and many of the meetings I've held that I didn't feel like I was a blessing to. I can tell you, many of the times where those meetings where I sense that it was truly blessed, that I could sense that I've done something for him that he was very happy about. Many of the times when I see the power of God and I see things happen, I go back and there's not so much. Yeah, you've done well, but there's not so much emphasis. Many of the, there was one meeting I went to like that day. It wasn't in the meeting. And the people just gathered in a circle and they were waiting for me to act. And I went there to this. There was no prophet, there was not. I just went there and I went to share God's word with them, encourage them, pray for them, laugh them. And I was getting back the kind of joy I had in my heart. And I was wondering, what's so special about that? So special about that. So many of the things that we think are what makes us happy might not be that exactly. That's why when you come to church, you put yourself aside and you keep your sight on him.
Oh, yes.
Okay? You put yourself aside and you keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. So at a point in time, I almost see that God is saying that as you have more small and more. Because the moment I went to a smaller meeting, I blessed the people full of joy. You go to a larger meeting, you think that he's a church, you're coming. So, we must be careful what we are very excited about. Right? So, in Ephesians chapter 3, it makes us understand that there is the church or the family that is in heaven and the family that is on earth. So, those together in the world and up above, or in that world where he is presently, where we are also, constitutes the universal church. So the church in the whole wide world, plus every other being in heaven, is the church, the family. That's it. So we have the universal church. Then we also have the local church. Right?
Yes.
So in the universal church, we probably might not have like CAC, charismatic, what, all the churches you can find around. They all come together to make the universal church. Then there is also what?
The local
church. Now, when we say something is a local church, it means that it's located somewhere, it's at a centralized place, it's at a localized place, right? So it's at a specific place. Remember, this is a local church. It's within the locality of what? Lagos, right?
Yes.
So that's a local church. So we all belong to the universal church. Now, everybody who is born again, everyone who is born again belongs to what?
The
universal church, right? Then in the universal church are what?
Local.
Are local churches. Local churches, like the eyes, the nose. If I see you sleeping, you stand up. The eyes, the nose, the ears, in different places, right?
Yes.
Great. So sometimes we find the local church. Sometimes we have to find that. We have to find that. And it's a very spiritual thing. Please check my mind. It's a very spiritual thing, right? Yes, it's a very spiritual thing to find a good local church. It's a very spiritual thing to find a good local church. It takes some effort to find a what?
Local church.
Now, don't ever get somebody born again and then you tell them that, go find a church. How will they find a church? They don't even know what they should be looking out for in a church. So it means that you will have to bring them where?
To your
church. You have to bring them. Don't be afraid to say, don't mind who say, nowadays, when we go for evangelism, we are saying, yes, we go to preach, but when we preach and we get them born again, we bring them to church. Are you listening?
Yes.
You don't say, okay, now you are born again. Jesus Christ be with you. You see, just look at, find any church that you love and find any church that you want to be in and just be there. No, don't do that. Right? Say, no, I want you to be in church because you are hearing the gospel from my lips. Are you listening?
Yes.
So they are supposed to be in church. They are supposed to belong to a gathering. They are supposed to belong to an assembly, right?
Yes, Pastor.
They are supposed to belong to a what? A family, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, some of you see,
Pastor, where did you say your church is? It's a problem. It's too much. Don't you have one around our side there? But many of you are traveling, you want to travel abroad to where it's free. You want to travel abroad. If I start to see that 90% maybe my conversion won't be travel abroad. Why did you attend senior high school in your area? Why did you attend senior high school in your area? Did you attend senior high school in your area? Where did you go? She's in Accra. And she will pick a car and drive all the way to Eastern Beach.
Wow.
Her mother will not see that something will catch her on the way.
Bridge.
I know some families, they apply for, what do you call it? Lottery, green card.
American
lottery. The husband. The wife, the five children, why didn't you look for a job in your area? But you say that your church is very far. You see that it's like you don't place any premium on the church. I spoke to someone like that. She said that her church, she just wants to walk in and she can get her back and walk in and walk out. But that lady I spoke to went to Nigeria for 3 years with a Nigerian bank, 2 years, to go and work for them so they could put her on trial and all that. Then they brought her back to Ghana. But she wants a church that she can walk in and walk out. So you drive 3 hours, 2 hours, drive in 6 hours, you go to work from your place to your workplace, 2 hours, 3 hours, but you want a church that is just 10 minutes by you. It's God that you don't take sin. So we have to be careful.
Yes,
sister. Some of you, I remember some time ago there was a minister that was coming. I, 11 hours, I sat on a bus just to go and see the person. Because I placed premium. Your house is not too far. Just look at your job, it's not too far. You go past far places for job purposes. Your boss will call you at 5 a.m. You'll be shaking like a chicken. She'll say, I want you to go to Kaswa and go and do something there by 6:30. And you are off to go. But God says that you should settle, find a good local church where you can serve and that teaches you the word of God. You will not go. You will not go. So there shouldn't be closeness to your residence. We're actually dealing with shortly, very shortly before we close.
My
defining the local church. It's very important. You see, let me tell you something. I'm giving you wisdom that is of God. Let's say everybody is going to live for 85 years, 90 years, 100 years. Do you know what the life we live now here is what spans up into eternity? Our eternity is forever. It means that we have a short life here. A shock. If you are going to live for 90 years, you have a shock right here. And then wherever it is you're going to give account to, you're going to be there forever until you do this thing. But you are interested in a gathering where they don't teach you the word of God. For you, it's directions you want. Bring three bottles of oil. You see, wanting to go and see the prophet. And add 3,000 Ghana cedis. Let your lives be lived for this purpose. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Your life must be lived for this purpose. So, if we're going to have an attitude for things that are natural, and we are very choosy and picky. Some of you don't eat and cabbage. Meet somebody like that. I said, so what do you eat? Because you don't eat cabbage, you don't eat carrots, you don't eat lettuce, you don't eat cucumber, you don't eat carbs. I mean, you don't even drink juice. Yeah. Some kind of juices you don't drink. You don't eat fufu. When I see somebody who doesn't eat fufu, I
mean,
wow. Your whole life is not eating fufu. Don't eat bamboo. So what do you eat? You are very choosy and very picky. You know what hair to choose. You know what lipstick you want. You know the heels you want to wear. You know the kind of clothes you want to wear.
My God,
just get me to wear. Just give me something that I can wear. But you are very picky. But when it comes to church, you are saying that the one that is the closest is the one I will go to.
Wow.
So it's very dangerous. So it means that our attitude should be employed for something of this eternal purpose. That same attitude, we have to employ for something that is eternal. And we're very intentional about it. Very intentional about it. So when you are not serious with God, your walk, I'm going to give you about maybe 10 or maybe 13 or 14 reasons that when you are not serious, you will go to that place or you will not even go to church. So when you're not so serious about your spiritual life, number one, everybody should write this. Write all the forms. Everybody, if I see you sleeping, I'll let you sleep. Yes, this church will let you go sleep. And if I see you resting in a certain way, I'll let you stand. Because you are intimidating me. You are telling me that my sermon is boring.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yes, that's what it means. So don't sit in your chair like this. Don't do that. You're telling me that what I'm saying is not important.
I love it.
So, when you attend a church that doesn't feed you with God's word, that makes you feel good, right. When you're not serious about your spiritual work, so number one, you attend a church that doesn't feed you with God's word, but makes you feel good. Doesn't feed you with God's word, but makes you feel good. You know, the feeling good is, you see, it's very sad, but you see, it's like, why are you going to go to that church again? Oh, okay. The usher welcomed me very, very warmly. That shouldn't be the reason why you go to church. That shouldn't be the reason why you go to church. The usher welcoming you warmly is a good thing. But when you make that the reason, you make it wrong. That's a wrong reason why you go to church. So when you are not appreciative of God, you're not appreciative of what He's doing. You're not appreciative of His body and His garment. You get up and you go because you feel good in that place. Number two, when you're not serious about your work with God, you attend your parents' church to keep tradition and avoid persecution. I'm going to give you a lot. Everybody will find themselves in that. Because I've been sort of like seeing it happen. You attend your parents' church because you want to keep a tradition. Now, if your parents' church, of course, you are growing, that's fine, right?
Yes.
But if the church is helping you to grow, you don't pray, you don't speak in tongues, there's no discipleship, there's nothing happening. When you go to church, you have a gang of boys that you go out to meet. Then when the church is over, you stroll in to see the girls. And that's your church. Some of you have lived that life. When the word of God is being preached, you are outside. When they are almost ending, you are inside. Then you can roll with the people that are in the church. It's wrong. It's very wrong. If Jesus was standing in front of you, He would lash you. And I'm not lying to you. So you're just going because you want to avoid certain persecutions. And persecutions come. They become. So you want to avoid a certain kind of persecution. So you say, I'm just going to be there. You know, we came from our parents' church.
Yes.
We are not born again. We got to church. That's why I was a Catholic. I went to Adventist.
Wow.
I went to. But when I saw I started growing, I said, no, there's something about growth, spiritual growth, I needed to pay attention to. I got into a charismatic meeting, they were praying in the spirit, and that was the first time I spoke in tongues.
Wow.
And the first time I spoke in tongues, the next time I went into my room, that was when I saw my first supernatural angelic experience.
Wow.
I said, what's happening? I hear the word of God here. It's being preached here. I said, and my dad has eight people in the Baptist church. Many years. I've eight people in the church. So I was supposed to inherit his keyboard. I just want to find somewhere to go. And I don't have a problem with you. So you are comfortable in a place that you want to go. When I ask you, those in the church, of course, we go to evangelism, but those who are going, they go to evangelism. Sometimes, all times of me, I know of somebody who goes to evangelism every day. Not all the time, but almost every time the person goes to evangelism. I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
I want someone, they told me, I can't say evangelism is my children. Yeah, that's what the lady told me. And so you have to find people actually entering into homes and preaching and teaching. Few people are doing the work. And you are sitting on the everybody stand. I made you with the last one. Touch your chair. Touch the seat. Is it warm?
Yes, it's warm.
That's your warmth on the chair. When you are not doing anything, sound, that's how you come to warm the pews on the chair and you are gone back and you don't do anything for God. Now, that's what Jesus Christ is telling you. So when you come, you sit on the chair, some of you are waiting for us to close. Baby, you are gone. You are gone. You just come to warm. So pastor, we need more chairs, you know? We need more people to warm the chairs. No. So you are busy going somewhere, you are not going. You're just trying to keep a tradition. A tradition, that's what you are trying to do. Pastor, my great grandfather was fire and wind and stone. My great grandfather was fire and wind and stone. My great grandfather inherited, passed over, it became mountain and hills. Then my father, and pastor, you know, I can't stop because that's you. I asked somebody, John 3:16, the person said, Jesus wept. And I said, no, it's not Jesus wept. So, you are team of this church to keep your tradition. Number three, I'm going to give you some important points, eh? It will help you. You attend a neighborhood church, but work or school at a distance. You attend a neighborhood church, but you work or school at a distance. Number four, you attend a popular church because they are crowded or in vogue. You know what it means in vogue? It means there's some popularity and there are some modernized features in the church. You attend a popular church because they are crowded. Which church are you attending? Christ on me. Which one is that? Which church is that? Who is your pastor? Say, what does he do? He's just a pastor. I read somebody asked me that, what do I do? I said, I'm a pastor. And the person said, don't you have any other things to do? Is there any other job? I wanted to tell the person that I'm a pharmacist, but I wanted to say no. I would not say I'm a pharmacist. I'm a pastor.
The best.
I'm a pastor. I think I didn't go to school. So you attend a popular church. They just know. Oh, say, one man church. Which church is not one man church? Don't say one man. Every church was started by one man. Yes, Pentecost was started by one man. It's a one. Every church was started by one man. Like me. 25, 26, 27, 31, 29, 20. It starts like this. It's every church is one man church. Wow. Bishop Dash. Bishop Dash is not one man. Every church is one man church. Every church you say you like and you go to, you love Pentecost. I'm sorry, I'm actually not supposed to mention it. But it's all one man church. They all started. Hey, come here, just one. So, when you say one man church, you say, oh, daddy. That is my pastor has already told us that every church was started by one man.
And now we believe the vision.
We believe the vision.
We believe what is happening.
We believe that this church is going to become like several other great churches.
Stick your seat. Say, push your. Ask for it. We know so and so. KWQ Kuni, he started like me. He was lecturing. And he was.
Wow.
He was coming to church.
Wow.
One man. So maybe you are looking at another man again starting.
Oh, yes.
So every church is one man church.
Every church is one man
church. I'm telling you that every church is one man church.
Every church is one man church.
Christ Embassy, Pastor Chris, you know me. When he started, he was one man. They persecuted him. He's teaching wrong things. Spoke against him. He was one man church. Every church. You mention your church. Tell me it's three man. So, your arguments are factless and baseless.
Oh,
you
know,
they fall flat to the ground. So, you attend a popular church, but you are not growing. When we ask you to disciple someone, you can't disciple them. You don't pray. Don't pray. Nobody checks up on you to pray.
Wow. What a church.
This reason is an interesting one. For relationship. Let's talk for relationship.
Uh-oh.
Charlie, what do you think of that church? Charlie, the show is deep. Relationships.
Wow.
That's funny. Do you like the church?
Wow.
Let's just listen to the right. But they are not
there.
That guy in the back. No, but it's because they are spiritual. So you attend a church because of your relationship. You have a disciple, but the reason why you are discipling the disciple is because of something. I want you to fear God. Are you listening? Fear God. Because it's your friend's church. Another very unserious reason. It's your friend's church. That means if your friend doesn't go to church, you will also not go to church. It must be very serious.
Number seven.
Some of you are waiting for them to come and marry you and go. Where you are going, you're not crazy, you're not distracted, no evangelism, no personal work with God, but you like it. Because you are now married to your husband. So he's now your husband's church. So the reasons why you go to church, you're not serious, you see that. You're going because you now have a husband. Or is your wife's church? You don't like what I'm preaching. It's like, nobody likes worship from people who don't stay for long.
They knew Jesus.
Wow.
That's why you need. Sorry, but that's why you need. Because they really knew. He chose 12 men. The women should be in the 70s and in the 120s. That was a joke, right? Don't take offense. The first person that actually saw his resurrection was a woman. So, because it's your husband, it's your wife's church. Some of the women are stronger in influence.
Wow.
Yes. You see some guiding fathers in the church. Marks another woman says, oh, can we just move back to some other place?
My God,
mercy. And he said, Pastor, my wife said, so when you are not serious, then you find yourself just move. I remember a time where Bishop Dan was sharing a story.
Wow.
And he had spoken to this lady who was very keen to reach. And then when he saw the lady was buying a lot of seeds. And so he saw the lady and he said, oh, this one's one. Oh, you are going. He said, oh, Bishop, I'll listen to the old page. I'll listen to it. And you know Bishop Dan told him. He said, bye, bye. That's the end of the news. That's the end of the news. I'm not saying you make money, but I'm not saying you don't make money. I'm not saying you will not have a good time, but that's it. No ministry for you. So why? Because you chose to find yourself in a place where you will not be the work of the ministry. That's what Bishop told me. That's the end of the news. And he didn't say it out of character. It's reality. It's the end of the ministry. And truly, it's the end of the ministry.
He must begin to
prioritize serving God and being effective in the work that has called him. I'm telling you. Because it's your wife's church. Because it's your husband's church. You just get up and you just move. Just go. And the sisters. You are more prone to this. More prone. You can see your ministry slipping before your eyes. You can see it. So you have to be careful.
Yes.
So the brothers, except the bigger ones. It's purple like the dog that's closing. One time I remember Reverend Tokobo was saying something. He says he met a lady. And you know, Reverend Tokobo is like Rhema director for the whole of the church in Nigeria. And he met the girl and he was kind of talking to her. And he was like talking about campaign. And he said, from that minute, whatever feeling you have, it's not bad. Because you cannot see that he's the one that makes him go spiritual.
Yes, Pastor Sir.
The one that causes his relationship to God to flourish and to prosper. Don't see that he's that person. That person means a lot to you.
Yes, Pastor Sir.
Because the person means a lot in eternity. The person means a lot in eternity. Your banking job, your typewriter job, whatever job you have, that's not time that much. I'm telling you. That's why when you're living there, you don't say anything. It doesn't count that much. Yes. If you have 50,000 in your account, 60,000, 100,000, but there's something happening, you see something. You're good. And if the person likes the other person, goes to spend that money you toil to gather together on some other deal somewhere. So we have to be very smart, you see that?
Yes,
we have to give our life to God and serve God. So when you're not serious about your walk with God, you find yourself gravitating to places because of a relationship, because of marriage. I'm not saying marriage is not important. I'm saying that marriage has its place. Let's put it away. It belongs. Because your husband has changed. position for his church because of the relationship, because the church is popular, because it's in the neighborhood, because you attend, you want to attend your parents to keep traditions. You attend church that does not feed you. You're not growing, but just you are going. Because of good music. Good music. The sound in the place is vibrating. Short messages. So, actually, they don't really keep long. You know, the pastor just preaches for 30 minutes and you are out of the place. First time is because of full packs and welcomes. They give you, take away, they give you this. The church was very good. Rock bands. Because you have connections in the church, like you know people in the church, not even for supernatural reasons or for spiritual reasons, you just know people that when you connect to, you can get a natural thing happen. That is not wrong, except that spiritual things should be placed first. Are you listening?
Yes.
Because of activities like playing the keyboard, drums, being part of the drama club. You can be part of the drama club, you can be playing the keyboard, you can be playing the drums, you can be playing whatever it is, and you have nothing to do with God serving Him rightly the way He wants you to serve. And this is the reason why we see that the music ministry sort of is now shaped in the body of Christ. And you see other fathers instructing now and telling any musician that is not in church, any musician that is not part of the church activity, don't let the person sing, don't let the person hear. Because in your mind, you're trying to use the church to gather fame and to make name for yourself. So you are in church because you see it. That's what you're doing. So what's it? Would you still be in church? Would you still come? I know the church, they script up the top church. Script up all of them. So that if you are not part of the church, you cannot be here. Now we are ruining all of these naturals because we want to serve Him right. And this is our whole duty for Him, is to fear Him and to serve Him. Let no man mistake it. And mistake you to do things that you're not supposed to do. Don't be mistaken about it. This is your whole duty on the earth. I'm telling you. It's your whole duty. Your office work and all of those things is your whole duty on earth. It does not make play so much. Those are not to sustain and to keep you and to help you get the natural things that you have to get and the things that you want to get for yourself. But the real reason why you are in church is because of Him. And to carry on the work that He has left for you to carry on. Just change in all of those things and just enjoy yourself. Now, see, all of these things that I'm explaining, it makes sort of some sense to the carnal mind. Because why not a relationship? Why not connections? Why not having friends in the church? Why not? But you see, I want you to know this and understand this very well. You are His creation. And you are created for His purpose. Are you listening? You are His creation. And you are created for His purpose. So I want to encourage you. You want to take Him seriously. Take Him seriously. Why we got it? Because we love you.
hear His word. We act on His word. He is that example. And we live our lives by the example He sets for us. So, as we hear His word in His body or in His church, we become more and more like Him. Isn't that what happens?
Yes, sir.
We are going to take time in a few seconds. We're going to set our gaze on You. We're going to be telling You something that we love You. And the reason why we gather is because of You. Lord, You're the reason why we gather. Because we truly love You. And as we hear Your word coming forth from You, we're going to live our lives in the knowledge of Your will. We will not gather because we come out natural things. But we're gathered because of You. And every time we gather, it's because of You. No kind of reason. Just You and You alone.
I want to be more like You.
Thank you.